Welcome to LDS Women's Book Review Podcast, Season 6, Episode 4. I'm Shanda, here with my friends
Sheila
and Mindy.
And we have a special guest with us today, author
Greg Luke.
He's here to podcast with us and talk about his new book that just came out last month called Deadly Undertakings. Yes. And we're all really excited to talk to him about it. So I think Mindy's the only one here that has read it.
I just finished it.
Yeah. He's read it over and over
he's
again.
Read it a few times.
A number of times.
Well, and Greg,
Not that I'm not totally excited to read, because every book that I read of Greg's, it's like his writing gets better and better and better. And every story is better and better. And
scarier,
I like it more. And yes,
scarier.
It's just an amazing thing.
Creepy.
I'm thrilled to read it. So.
And Halloween's coming. So if you're looking for a nice spooky book to read, this is the one you want to read. So Greg, how long did it take you to write Deadly Undertakings?
Most of my novels take about a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that because of all the research? Because I know a lot of the things that are in your books require research.
a ton. I actually have quite a file of just research notes that I think would be really neat in stories. And so oftentimes when I'm going through writing a novel, I've got an opening for something cool to go in there. And I think, well, this will fit the story very, very well. And so I'll just bring it out. So a lot of it's already done. But then there is quite a bit that ties into the storyline that I still have to do.
Okay, I'm kind of curious. What are some of the titles of your files? How to Kill People? Oh. How to? I mean.
Well, I actually have
a
poisons file.
Oh, okay. And also, I'm just curious.
Genetic research. There's a lot of neat potential stories in genetic research.
Not as gruesome as I was thinking.
Yes. So no, I don't have any files that say, you know, different ways to slit someone's throat.
Okay, good.
You don't want you investigated.
Eyeballs or things like that.
That makes me feel so much better about you.
I don't.
Side effects to
I'm not Dan Wells. I
Exactly. And I'm sure Dan Wells does have many files like that. That would scare me.
I wonder if he even needs to keep files. It's probably all in his head.
Probably.
That's the scary part.
Okay, so it took you about a year to write Deadly Undertakings.
Yes.
And where did you receive your inspiration for that? Did you read something somewhere, or did you just come up with it in your brilliant mind?
Actually, it's most of my ideas come from a combination of sources, and they all just tie together to say, this would be a really good story. A lot of the research I did on this one has to do with blood, obviously, and I did that when I was writing Bloodborne.
Exactly,
yes. There was a lot, but there was so much I couldn't use in Bloodborne just because it wasn't necessary for the story.
Right, right.
And so that's where I had the files from them. One of the things that I found was about centenarians, people that are over 100 year old, or super centenarians over 110.
Wow.
That they have specific types of blood. Now, we all have our own blood types. I'm A positive.
I'm B positive.
Yeah. See, so we've got three different blood types right here at this table. And there are even more out there. Well, it turns out that a lot of people that live long lives into their 90s and hundreds have certain types of blood, and certain types are not found in those people. And
is A positive one of those?
Yes, it is.
One of those that makes you make it over 100?
Yes. Well,
no,
there you go.
Not a centenarian.
Okay,
but,
good.
But at least into the 90s.
My husband said he wants to live till he's 100, and he doesn't want to live without me. And I said, I don't want to live to 100. That's a long time.
See, I do. I want to live to 100.
I want to live as long as I can.
Just so I can say that I did it.
Can you tell us which ones do live longer? What's the...
Some of the ones that live the longest are the combos, like the AB.
Wasn't it the AB positive?
AB positive.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I guess I'm done for.
Husband's AB positive.
What's special about that blood? And they've looked into it. They've looked at the prions and everything that go, the structure of it, the proteins and all this. And they're really not quite sure why that's a factor yet. They're still researching it, which I thought it was neat.
Mm-hmm. That is
but
neat.
Then I was watching the History Channel on this thing about the Shroud of Turin.
Yes, I find that fascinating.
Is this real? Is this, it's cool because the carbon dating places it really close to that time.
Right.
All the blood stains are in the proper places and all that.
Right.
I thought, well, you know, that's neat. I'm not quite sure if I accept that or not. I'm not totally discounting it. Mm-hmm. And then one thing came up in this program that said, we decided to take that blood and type it.
Oh, I love this.
It was AB positive.
No way, serious.
And so I'm thinking, now that's kind of interesting. And so I tied those two together and came up with Deadly Undertakings.
Wow.
You know, there might be some people that may not know what that's all about. Why don't you tell them what that is?
The Shroud of Turin.
Yeah, I know what it is, but I don't know if some people know what it is.
Back in Christ's time, there are certain burial practices.
Yes.
One was to use a pure linen shroud, not cotton or anything else. It had to be a linen shroud to cover the body. Another practice was to put coins on the eyes,
right,
to hold them closed, certain things like that. And that also plays into the
book.
That's in the book, too. Yeah, and there's a neat little twist to that.
Oh,
one,
my goodness.
Fact.
It's so cool.
She was telling us a little bit about
so
it before you got
eyes.
Here.
Just the first chapter, nothing more.
That's all she said.
Oh, yeah, the first chapter is a lot of fun.
Yeah, the first chapter, I went... You know, we'll talk about that in a minute. I wrote something down as I was reading.
That's fine.
Was awesome. Anyway,
so the Shroud of Turin.
Continue.
Sorry.
Yeah, so the Shroud of Turin. So they found, I didn't remember where they found it, but they were looking through, I think it was some caves, where a lot of the burials are taking place is in caves. And they found this shroud that was kind of folded off to one corner. And they opened it up. And it had a radiographic image on it that under certain lights, I guess the body that it was covering had impregnated its image into the linen. And only linen, cloth, pure linen, accepts this kind of image.
Oh, so
and so they brought it out, and it looks, you know, like Christ. It's got the beard and everything.
Right.
But more importantly, it has blood stains across his forehead as if they were puncture marks.
Right.
Crown of thorns.
Exactly.
There were nail holes in his hands and his wrists and a sword mark in his side. So they all matched what Christ went through. And so they did radiocarbon dating of the cloth itself, and it dates back to about 33-34 AD. So everybody says, ooh, this must be. And
right.
So it became it's kind of like seeing the image of the Mother Mary in a piece of French toast. You know,
right.
It really gets all hyped out.
Tree.
And so, you know, take it as it is. But all the studies that they've done on it so far are pretty conclusive.
Oh, it's just fascinating.
So it's interesting. It's, you know, and the church doesn't say one way or the other.
Right. No, they don't.
On it. And they never will. You know, it's kind of.
Because you can't know.
Yeah.
No,
it's like the Da Vinci Code. You know, was Christ married?
Fascinating still.
Yeah. Oh, but it is so much fun to
Isn't
research.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah,
I
it's
love
fun
it.
To research, but it doesn't change
Absolutely.
Your testimony.
No, it doesn't. It is not important to your eternal progression.
For sure. But it is fascinating.
Yes.
Do you guys have any questions for Greg?
I just wanted to tell him what was happening to me as I was reading, and I want to pull up my notes.
Okay.
And I wanted, because I, as I'm reading a book, I try to write my impressions down of something that I've read, but I forgot to put this in the review, but something happens, and maybe I'll have to whisper it in his ear later.
Okay. Spoiler alert.
Well, yes, something exactly. happens to someone where a gun goes off.
Yes.
And so during this part, the last lines are always what makes me have to turn the page to continue on to the next chapter. But the last line, I can't remember exactly, but it said, and so the gun goes off. And then I just sat there going, okay, I know I have to turn the page, but I just can't. I don't want to know what happens, but I want to know what happens. So I just said, I got to a certain point where something happened and I couldn't turn the page because of what possibly happened.
Ah.
But I was, because I was afraid of what was going to happen, but I was so curious at the same time.
Oh, that's good.
And so obviously I turned the page.
Yeah.
But I just, towards the, honestly, all of it, it's first half, it leads up and then you're like, oh my goodness. And then after, when you get to the last half, when the big events are taking place, it's just your stomach hurts and you can't breathe.
Thank you.
So, ladies, you might want to read this tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. That makes him feel good.
Kevin, and I put this in my review. Kevin, he just gets the biggest kick out of me when I'm reading suspenseful things because I'm always going, Or I'm always going, oh, or, you know, I always just, and he just laughed. He just got a kick out of me when I was reading this one. So
it's more fun for the people watching you read.
I look over at the corner of my eye sometimes, and he's just kind of looking at me and just laughing because I'm just so into the story. So
it's fun. I will have, I have two pharmacy technicians that will, they're like an ARC reader, so I will give them chapters and stuff like that. Well, because they know a little of the medicine.
Yes, and there's a lot
of that. They love reading, and this one was reading the part where the mentor shows up.
I died.
And I know where she's at. I know where she's reading. And so she's like in her corner just, you know, reading this thing, and then I'm helping customers and filling prescriptions and stuff. And all of a sudden I hear this, what the crap? Sorry, I don't know if you need to edit that or not, if that's too strong for
No, it's okay. It's
here.
Okay.
But I knew exactly where she was, and I just started laughing.
Because the way, I was blown away.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Good.
Oh,
good.
I'm so excited.
Oh, I want to go home and read it right now.
And it's funny because there's been a few reviews, and one of the ones I read, she says, you know, this was absolutely great. It should be on CFI or one of those TV cop shows.
Right.
She says, but there's two things that I really had troubles with. And one of them was the word Diener, which is a German idiom for an autopsy assistant. She says it plays a vital role in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's never explained. We never know what it is. So those of us that don't know are left in the dark. I'm like,
what?
No, it's just right there in chapter 4.
Say,
it says
Diener right
is the German for an autopsy assistant. That's what Rebecca liked to be called. Authors always are told never combat a review.
Which is so smart.
Because
true.
Reviews,
it's smart.
What it comes down to is opinion. And not everybody's going to have the same opinion.
Very
true. I hate oatmeal cookies with raisins, but I love oatmeal cookies. You know, right. That's an opinion.
Exactly.
Okay? There it is.
So what was the second thing? What did someone else say?
She figured out who the bad guy really was.
Sometimes, you know, some people really can see it coming. And there have been some where I'm one of those that I more often kind of guess who it is.
Yeah.
So I love it when I don't. I love it when I can't guess.
Yeah,
when
you can be surprised.
But even sometimes when I have figured out who the bad guy is or who
it's
I think it is,
see,
it's kind of fun to see how it plays out.
How the path
is. About being carried along in the story. It doesn't matter if you find out who it is. See if you're right. You know, see how it's revealed.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know how it's going to be revealed
too.
Yet.
I love that too. It's neat. You know, my good friend Stephanie Black.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In all of hers, there's only been one of hers that hadn't figured out the book.
Exactly.
Bad guy. But then I write the same thing, so I kind of know what to look for.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
You understand red herrings and how this,
exactly.
You know, it's a little bit formulaic. It's just
Pretty much. Skill
is in how to layer it so it's not obvious.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you are seeking for that when you're reading,
you probably don't want to figure it out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I never read going, oh, I want to hurry and find out. You know, I just lose some
of the enjoyment.
Exactly. Yes. I want to lose myself in the story. And so I don't really sit there trying to figure out who did it. I don't care. Just let me get involved. Let me get into that person's shoes. Let me, you know, that's why I love to read things like that because I want to become that character when I read. So that's why I probably am the last person to figure out who does it until it's revealed.
Except for when you're like, don't open the door.
You said you didn't want to open the door, but you opened the door anyway.
It's like, what were
you
ever seeing?
Those teen horror flicks?
In most of my books, I reveal who the bad guy is. And so mine goes, instead of a mystery, mine usually go into more of a suspense and thriller genre.
Which I love.
Because it's more of the ticking bomb then. It's like, okay, we know the good guy, we know the bad guy, we know what has to happen to solve this, to end it. And it's just a matter of can they do it in time. So a lot of times there's no guessing as to who the bad guy is in mine.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay, but I didn't figure it out.
But this one I wanted to put that mystery element into it.
I think it's wonderful.
Oh, you guys.
Just getting so excited.
I know. And it's only going to take me a couple hours to read it.
Yeah, it's a very fast and enjoyable read.
That's how it always is with your books.
Oh, thanks.
Because once you start them, I'm always like, hey, hun, kids go to daddy. No, don't bother mom.
I think there's a reason for that. Not that they're exceptionally well written, but thank you for
saying
that.
Oh, yes,
that.
They are.
But when I write a book, I like to write it as if I was watching a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, or a good episode of Castle.
Well, and that's why I enjoy your...
Okay. I've never seen that, but okay.
Oh, I love Castle. Do you guys watch Castle?
I haven't watched it either. No, Shanda loves
it.
Love Castle.
I absolutely love
but
watching
Castle.
But
that's why I love how sometimes how when your chapters are a little shorter, just because it just keeps it just going so quickly. Yeah. I love short chapters.
And that's an element of editing in filmmaking, is to keep the scene transitions quick.
And I like that a lot.
That way you're pulled along rather than having to force yourself along the story.
In our last podcast, didn't you talk about studying film for a while? Was that you that we were talking to? Yeah, and that you studied film for a while, and that's why you can incorporate that into your book so well.
Yes.
The different aspects and principles of what makes a good suspense film, and you transfer that into
the
novels.
I think it's the short chapters. I really do.
And
I think a lot of them have short chapters.
Well, anytime, like when you have a fast-moving action book or things like that, they will have shorter chapters.
Yeah. I think it's great.
I love it.
So how many words specifically do you stick to when you're saying, okay, this is going to be a shorter chapter? How many words? I mean, I'm asking this question as a learning how to be a writer person.
Aspiring author.
There you go. See, I told you this morning that it's Saturday morning brain.
That's okay. I had a blonde moment this morning myself. Okay.
But you really are blonde, so that's okay.
I'm
not.
All right. You know what? I don't count words.
You don't ever?
No. I write the scene that needs to be there. And oftentimes I'll just go ahead and put like a skeleton down. It's not really an outline per se, but I'll put down the bones of what has to happen.
Okay.
On my second time through, I'll flesh it out and make it really nice. And then when I go back, I'll cut off all the fat.
So, you know what? Kind of I love that.
That is awesome.
That is great advice. That is super. I don't think I've ever heard anybody really explain it like that. I like that.
That's
how it works for me. Sometimes they're long, sometimes they're not. It just
and they're not all, just one page. Yeah. But, I like the
anatomical metaphor. Yes.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Very appropriate.
Thank you.
I think the thing that really stops me the most from writing that I need to get over this is I think I've got to have it perfect that first run through.
Right, and you do need to get over that.
I do. You know it. I mean, seriously, that's what's really stopping me from just getting my story out. Because then I think, this isn't right. And I like that, just put it down, get the bones down. Yeah. Is that what you said, right? Get the bones down and then flesh it out the second round. Uh-huh. And then that third round is cut the fat off. Yeah. Oh, this is fabulous.
No, Stephanie and her, she was a guest author Thursday on the blog just this past week, Stephanie Black. And because she, Mindy and I are going to review her
on Shadows
on Wednesday.
That was pretty good.
Just FYI, I haven't read that one yet either. So you don't have to feel left out.
You've got a lot of reading.
I do have a lot of reading to catch up. Disneyland was great, but I'm behind, so I have to do a lot of reading. Anyway, so what she was saying in her guest author blog that she calls herself a shy writer, and she doesn't let anyone read until she's been through her story three times. Mm. Probably for the same reason. She lays down the bones, fleshes it out, cuts off the extra, then she'll let other people read it. Do you wait three times through before you let other people read it? Yes. Or
really? Same thing.
It's got to be comfortable for me before I give it to anybody else.
Because
if there's something that I'm struggling on and I give it to somebody else to read and they make suggestions, well, then it's their book and not mine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's why there's been one or two editors that I won't name, but that I've had in the past with Covenant that have gone so far as to actually rewrite entire paragraphs for me in my book when they're doing the edit. And I'm like, that's just not right. Because you can tell it's not my voice in there.
Wow.
And so that's why I'm very particular about that.
Makes sense.
Yeah. If I come up with a chapter that's really fun, I'll let somebody read just that chapter. So what do you think? You know,
but not the whole story.
But yeah, not how it ties in. And I'm very much like Stephanie that way. It's got to be complete for me before I give it to anybody else.
Another shy writer.
And then you can tweak it and fine tune it from there.
Love
comments.
It. Very good.
Yeah, I really like Shadowed though. You're going to like it because it's her first book to where it's written third person narrative, but it's third person. Unique. I don't know, there's a technical term for it, but your point of view is only through one person the entire book.
Yeah, she doesn't switch.
She
at
hasn't
all
done
on
that
this one.
Before.
Wow.
And it's
I'm halfway through.
I liked it a lot. Yeah.
I really liked the character.
With blink of an eye.
Yes.
I kept right in Joseph Ramirez's point of view. so that you didn't know what was going on with his dreams, with his regressions, all that kind
of
stuff. Mm-hmm.
You know, I still remember the ending of that book on the island. Yeah. I don't know why that one just is in my mind. It just,
well, this one will stick with you too. Okay.
Yeah. Your books, and it's just like, do no harm. I still remember so many aspects of that. So see, you are a good writer. If I can, with how many books?
How many books we read?
We read over 100 books every year.
I still remember when they were trying to get out of that building.
Yes, I do too. I remember that too. I mean, it's just, see? That really should be a testament to your writing. We're sitting there going,
Greg, we like you.
I mean, how many years ago was Do No Harm? Four? Three?
At least four, right?
It's like six.
This is six.
Okay, so see? There you go.
Wow, Sheila. That's cool.
Yeah. That's like 600 books ago.
Well, thank you.
600 books ago.
600 books, wow.
Aren't you working on something with... Our yours portion is done, right? Aren't you doing a combined book with Stephanie and
Stephanie
and Tracy as well?
Yeah. And yours was done probably first.
Yeah, you were the first one.
I was the first.
That is so exciting.
I latched onto this story that it wouldn't stop. And there was a little bit of research to it, but not the kind that I had to really delve into.
Right.
And so it was one of those that I sat down, and every time I sat down, the next scene was there.
Oh,
and
that's so lucky.
Yeah, I like
it
that.
Was,
yeah,
that's a good feeling. I've never had that before.
Wow.
And I was able to do this 100-page novella in maybe 2 months.
And it's the three of you?
Yes.
Oh, that'll
these
be.
Novellas.
And it's released next year?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. They're becoming a very popular thing with
they
a lot
are.
Of them, aren't they?
I really love it.
You know,
though.
I've just noticed a lot of them are popping up all over.
Darren Fraley has asked me to join his 36 project.
Oh, that is so
what
cool.
Is that? What is
very
that?
Neat.
He wants
project.
Me to do the Dial of Ahaz, which is in the Old Testament.
Oh, my
it's associated with healing.
That is so
awesome. That's why he asked me, I guess, me to do it.
That is so cool that he asked you, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's neat. Have you read 36 yet, the first one? Yeah.
I have not read it. I've got
really
it on
good.
My. I've got it on my Kindle.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So, what exactly is Project 36 about, or whatever it's called?
I don't know. You'll have to ask Darren. No, I'm just kidding.
Send Darren an email.
I can give you kind of a rough synopsis. The best thing to do is go on his website. He's also got a website called the Lambed Vovniks. That's the nickname for these people. It's all Jewish folklore.
Oh, okay. Because I've seen it all over Twitter.
The idea is that at any given time, there will be 36 righteous people on the earth that each have a special gift. And that gift is to help people understand that there is a God, that, you know, he is here for us, and that, all the gloom and doom is necessary for us to go through. And they're there to help. And then if one of them dies,
say that again.
Yeah, I know exactly.
The gloom and doom.
It's actually there. Okay. That's right. And if one of them passes away, another one will take his place. And the thing is, nobody knows that they're one of them
until that point.
Yeah, and even after they become one, sometimes there's. Am I really part of this or not?
Wow, that sounds
cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's a really neat Jewish folklore. And so that's what he's doing is he wants to get 36 authors or, a few authors that'll take two or three of these stories and write a little novella, 100 pages or so, these little stories and that just go
and then
along
do
with
a compilation.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
That's really cool.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So when is this thing with Stephanie and you and Tracy all coming out?
It's slated for next October.
Okay.
Yeah.
October.
I know. I hate this waiting game.
It's Halloween themed.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, nobody's ever done any Halloween kind of thing through Covenant. And so it was actually, I think it was Tracy's idea.
Oh, that's awesome.
Why don't we get the three suspense writers? I know they have more, but, us three.
You guys are the best.
Whatever. There's some really good ones out there. Each write 100 pages or so to make a good standard 300-page novel, but have three separate Halloween stories that really don't have anything to do with each other.
Right.
It's just something you can sit down and say, let's try Stephanie's story tonight. and just go through it.
Yeah.
So, and then I kind of had the harebrained idea of throwing each of them into the story.
Oh,
so
I love
Stephanie
that.
Stephanie and Tracy are both in my novella.
Oh,
do either one of them get into dire straits? And
Or is it just a novelty mention?
Not so much.
Okay, I was just wondering.
They're not really, they're vital characters because they give important information, but they're more than just a background character.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
And I actually wrote it as a change first person and said it in a YA voice.
I've always wanted to try that. So that is excellent.
These teenagers going through this Halloween mystery because that's more appropriate for their age group.
That'll be great.
Tracy and Stephanie as teenagers. I only hope that they like the way I've portrayed them.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's going to be great. Are they putting you in theirs?
I have no idea.
You haven't told them then.
No. Here's the thing, though. I've sent them my copy of it, so they have it. So all they have to do
is just read it and find out. Like they'll know. I'll know when they've read it when they say, "Hey,
I'm not this. Familiar. I wouldn't say that."
That's funny. I think that's awesome. I love it when authors do that, especially when we know them. Like you know, when Jeff Savage puts Rob and James,
and that was hilarious. That was really I love that.
Well, did you notice the two I have in Deadly Undertakings?
You said the relation
Jeff
to
Jeff is in there.
Jeff is
and
Jeff was
and
in
Tristy
there.
Is
and Tristy,
yes, and Tristy. Mister, was it Mister? It was not. It was somebody Pinkston. Yeah, there was a Pinkston in there. Yes,
they're both doctors, by the way.
I love it.
I did notice that, and I did have a smile. But I love it. I love those added things because I know those people.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's fun.
See, and most people that wouldn't know them are going to read right over thinking that's just their name and not think anything of it.
Yeah, so Savage did that in the Zombie Kid. Dashner's in there.
Really?
Yeah.
What else was he? That there was they were police officers. Rob and James were.
It was in one of the Chandras, wasn't it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was the third one.
Yeah.
Okay. I think so.
If I remember correctly, you also put little cameos of yourself in each of your books. Did you do that with Deadly Undertakings?
Yeah.
See, that is so awesome.
Cool. I know. We saw each other Thursday night at our daughter's band concert. And I was just, what was I even saying? I can't even remember.
Yeah, it's so creepy.
It's so creepy, but it's so.
And I said, did you see Greg's cameo in there? And
yeah.
I'm like, he puts a cameo in each of his books.
Well, and I loved the Easter egg of, you saw what happened last year in Hawaii when that guy did this. And
perfect. And I'm like, perfect.
I know what he's talking about.
I told you about that last time I did this. I always reference the previous book, which I think is so clever.
Now, it makes me want to go back and, because the early ones, I didn't know that until after we'd had the podcast. And so I wanted to go back and see if I could figure it out.
See if you could find them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're in there.
That's
what a clever way to get people to read all your books. Yeah, you're so good.
That's right. Subliminal
marketing.
Didn't
you say that there was an author that does that, Clive?
Oh, Clive Cussler.
He does a cameo in
almost every novel I've read of his. He's in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's a lot of fun.
It is.
It's your book. Do whatever you want.
Exactly.
Yeah. Of course, he kind of, you know, embellishes it. He always describes himself as this, you know, good looking,
ruggedly handsome,
you know, mysterious man. You know? Just, I don't do that. I just put my name in there, but that's about it.
Weren't you? You were actually a pharmacist in one of them.
Yes.
I'm a pharmacist, and usually that's how I reference myself.
He's always the pharmacist.
Yeah.
I'll just say, you know, go down to the clinic and ask Greg or something like that. It's pretty close to the beginning.
Yeah, I remember it now. Yeah.
I like my pharmacist. They're nice people.
They can be, yes.
Well, everyone I've met's always been nice. Why, do you know some that are not nice?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess it takes all types.
Yeah. Okay,
so we've talked about Deadly Undertakings. Let's talk about what's coming next.
Besides your novella.
What's coming up? Besides the novella with Stephanie and Tracy.
Yeah.
I just submitted to Covenant another
Already?
Novel.
That's right. I wrote that on Facebook yesterday or the day before.
This one takes a little bit of explaining, but basically it comes down to the fact that it's a Book of Mormon thriller.
Oh, okay. Wow.
It's an idea that I got when I was teaching gospel doctrine years ago. And then since we've gone through the Book of Mormon this year, it kind of sprung up in my mind again. There's a verse, and I just forgot the reference, Alma 40:46 or something like 46:40, one of those, that talks about the times and the seasons that had lots of sickness and fever, but not so much fever because of the excellent quality of the herbs that were used
I know that verse.
To prevent the cause of the illness. I'm thinking,
wow.
wait a minute, that's a pharmacist. Yeah, that's a doctor back then.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're using those references. And then that kind of tied into the whole story of Ahmed and Lamoni. And I'm thinking, okay, here he is in a royal court. He's talking to him. The king of all people passes out to the point where they think he's dead.
Right.
Certainly they have doctors, physicians,
who would have come
shaman,
to see him.
Who would have come there and tried to figure out what's wrong with him.
Right.
But that's never mentioned in there. Right. But I know they did. They had to.
They wouldn't have just looked at him. Oh, I know. They wouldn't have just dropped on the floor. Oh, he's dead.
And then, everybody else in the court falls down like that too. And then the one guy that comes out there that wants to kill Ammon, say, I'm going to avenge my brother, he does drop dead. Uh-huh. And he's really dead. Where the physicians had to have been going nuts, going, what is going on?
No kidding.
I thought, what would it be to have somebody, a healer, actually go through that? And so that was the generation of the idea.
I love that. Very good.
And then I thought, well, wait a minute. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to do a lot of research to find out what kind of medicines, what medical techniques they used back then.
Wow.
And that way I could make it another medical thriller, which is my genre.
Yes.
Of course.
But set in Book of Mormon times.
Oh, that is so clever.
This isn't another time travel, go back, kind of thing. I guess it's closest to maybe what Heather does.
I was thinking, with
her historical fiction. But it has a very unique medical aspect to it.
Oh,
wow, that's awesome.
Something that's not been done.
Yes.
So,
yeah, I'm hoping
Covenant there you go.
Likes it. Yeah.
Well, why would they not?
Doing the things that haven't been done before.
I'm sure
it's very different from your contemporary stuff.
It is.
However, it does tie in just a little bit
to
the survivors. Just a tiny
bit. Oh, yeah, it does,
bit.
A little bit. Yeah, you're right.
You have visited that a little bit. Well, that was the first book of yours that I read.
Yeah.
And so I remember that. Very specifically, that book. Because that was a twist I didn't see coming. Yeah. I thought it was just going to be about avoiding the drug lords in the Colombian, or whatever it was, jungle.
Yeah.
And so to be able to have that little twist there, I didn't expect it. That's why it's memorable to me.
Oh, good. Thank you.
It's fun to try new things.
Well, right? And I was worried about that very thing. This is not the typical Greg Luke novel.
Right.
And so I contacted Covenant, my editors, and they actually encouraged the idea.
Really?
Oh,
they say, we used to say, no, stick to your specific genre because that's what people want.
Mm-hmm.
But they say they really like the branching out now
because somebody
may pick up something because it is a Book of Mormon thriller and that's all they read.
Exactly.
And they'll think, I love this story. What else has this guy written? And then, it is kind of a cross-marketing thing.
You only read contemporary medical thrillers and you pick up something that's kind of a historical thing, and then maybe that will tie into other historical books that they might want to read, like Heather's or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Or Kathy Oren Peterson's.
It can go in many ways.
So Greg's going to be starting his romance next week,
Yes, and then my dystopian next month.
And they're all going to be medically related.
There you go.
Somewhat.
I always
throw a little romance into
it. I know you do. We appreciate that.
And you know that's smart because you know who you're really marketing to. 75% of the reader market is women. Ages between 25 and 45.
Really? Okay.
Well, with this book, with Deadly Undertakings, I loved the banter between the two lead characters.
Wasn't that fun? It was.
I mean, they were... You could just tell instantly how they felt about each other, even though Josh had some issues, and so did she, I guess, but also I just loved their relationship. Yeah. And so, yeah, very much a romance.
Well, most readers are women.
Heavens no. I think anybody would have done that for their person.
For their person.
Yes. I love that.
I'm trying to think of a significant other. A movie metaphor for it, but yes, their significant other
okay.
that they care deeply for. No, I wouldn't have seen it any other way, for sure.
Very good.
I can't wait to find out what happened.
It's so awesome.
All these little tidbits. I'm just kind of going.
This is actually really fun.
I love this.
You were worried about that, but I knew it was going to turn out okay.
No, it's great.
It's hard. Like when we first started the podcast and we were reading. books and then trying to discuss them. So we didn't really, at first, didn't really worry about spoilers as much until we realized, wait, most of the people who are listening to these haven't read these books yet. Yes. And so it was nice to be able to, actually got kind of fun to be able to talk about that one scene where the guy did the one thing in the forest and the other one's like, eh, and then we're like, you just have to read it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's nice to drop those hints.
But I did, I put that in my review. I appreciated their relationship and I really
nice review.
Yeah. You're welcome. I just really loved the book.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, I want to really love it too.
Let's wrap this up so I can get reading going.
Yes.
I am working on another contemporary medical thriller.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So at the same time.
Well, no wonder it takes you a year. Yeah. You're doing 12 different things.
I'm involved in at least two or three different projects at any given time.
Do you find that's, I mean, obviously that works for you. So how do you separate it all in your head? I guess you figured it out after all this time.
I'm a discovery writer. I admit that. I do not outline. I find outlines very, very stringent. Some people, that's how they do it, and that's great if that's,
right, absolutely.
If that's what they
whatever
do.
Works.
Do you at least
I
have
know,
like a basic, like maybe 3 to 5 point direction where you want it
sure
to go?
Do you know
sure
who's the bad guy when you start?
No, but I know what kind of bad guy is needed.
Okay.
So I know where I start and I know how it has to end, but how I get from point A to point B, I have no idea until I start writing and the characters take me there.
Oh, that's what kind of writer
amazing
I am.
So
I'm totally a
that's how
discovery
I can do three
writer
or four different projects, because when I open a file and I start reading, it's like I'm automatically pulled into that movie and not this movie over here.
Right, right.
You know, and that's how you keep them
separated. I think it's a guy thing too, because the men's brains are wired to be very focused.
Yeah.
It's, you know, prehistoric stuff. You know, when you're hunting that deer, you're not wanting to be distracted by that pretty flower over there or the bird. You're hunting for the deer. And so men can do that. No, women are usually like, can't eat a time. But this buffalo stew to be done about the time they're back with that elk, and I need to tan this hide over here.
I love
it. And you make sure the kids don't wander into the deep end of the river, and you know they have to do multiple things at once. But I think that's why it works so well for you, because you can just pull it and focus. I have to work on just one thing, because if I'm thinking about 3 different projects, I'm going to be thinking about all 3 different projects and trying to find out how to think about them all at the same time.
Kirsten White does that though. She can write anything at any time. She could sit down and write a book today if she wanted to. Her class at Storymakers was fascinating.
I kind
actually
of hate her.
She can do
like
a million
books
things, yes. But that's really
I don't really
exciting
hate you, Kirsten. Not that you'd ever listen to this podcast.
Edit.
No, I think all writers are continually running ideas and scenes through their heads. I really think they are. And at least I know I do.
I guess I'm just not a writer yet. I mean, I guess I just haven't, you know, given it enough of a chance.
That's okay, because if we were all writers, who would be reading?
That's true. That's
oh,
true.
I love reading.
I know. I was being very, very sarcastic.
Time. Oh, okay. All right.
Because we all know the best authors are the best readers.
That's what they always say.
I hear that. So, okay, so did we ever find out what else you're working on? Or did
Well, the contemporary one. What's that
the
one
contemporary
about?
One. The contemporary one you were saying.
I love when he smiles. I wish you guys could see this. Whenever
what we've
we
just been through. Yes, oh, dear.
It's like
dear
whenever we ask
brace
him a question,
yourself,
he's
the
over
table
there, and then he gets a smile on his face.
You know
like
why he gets a smile on his face? Because he knows what kind of reaction he's going to get from us.
I think so.
Am I right? You're like, okay, this is really... I know. I tell you,
he's admitting it.
I'm going to see the reaction on your faces.
Okay.
Well, that and whoever's listening to it, I hope they get the creepy reaction from it.
Okay.
I'll play that from the mic.
Now, this is really weird. You know, I'm a science and a nature nut. And David Attenborough, you know, like man crush on him because he does the planet Earth and the blue planet and all this stuff. You know,
two words I did not expect every
Anyway, I was one of his nature series. I can't remember if it was Life or Planet Earth or whatever, but he's talking about plants in particular and then going to the subphylum of fungus. Actually, fungus is its own kingdom in the animal kingdom. And so he's talking about different fungi, you know, molds and mushrooms. And, you know, so you get poisons and all sorts of fun stuff from it. But there's this one fungus called the cordyceps fungus. And you can look this up, too. One of the varieties of cordyceps fungus are only found in the Amazon, Amazon basin. And the way they reproduce, most fungi, is through spores. They have to just release the spores. Oops, sorry, and the spores either are carried by the wind or water or whatever. There's some dispersion of spores. Well, the cordyceps fungus has to find itself high in a tree because the Amazon is just dense. So there's not going to be a lot of wind in the understory. And so they go high up and release the spores so the wind can catch it and spread it around. Uh-huh. How it does that, now remember, this is a fungus. No brain, no circulatory system. Right. Okay, it infects a certain species of ant.
Ants.
And what it does is it commands the ant to crawl up a tree, latch on to the branch, and die. And then this thing grows out the top of its head and releases the spores. And I thought,
bizarre.
Wow, that what if so cool. that went from ants to people? And people started doing things like climbing up flagpoles and going and dying, and this thing grows and
that is creepy.
There it is.
Okay.
It kind of reminds me of an episode of Star Trek Voyager that my husband and I just watched, where this virus infects this mining colony, and the captain and someone else are on this away mission, and the virus infects these people, and they get all sick, and they're all laying unconscious, and then this sore opens up on their neck, and it releases.
It releases macroviruses.
It goes from a microvirus to a macrovirus, and then it grows really big, and then it has these big impaler things, and it's chasing the captain all around the ship trying to kill her. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, it's very similar to that, but not
a virus, a fungus.
They don't know how this thing controls the ant's mind to make them do that rather than his normal ant job.
Oh, that is bizarre.
Especially because ants aren't necessarily have big brains or anything like that.
Exactly.
Even really, they are more instinctual.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ooh, it's very all cool. instinct-based.
Yeah.
What would make an ant have to climb higher? It thinks water?
I don't know maybe how the fungus takes it over, but it does.
Oh, man.
That's bizarre.
They can't
find
very good.
Very,
so
very
fun
good.
One.
I am not surprised that is something you're going to run with, and I can't wait to I'm excited to be... You know how
thank you.
Usually you're not in a big hurry to be scared, but... Yeah. You can't wait. I can't wait to be creepy
true.
On my skin.
Very yeah. true.
Oh yeah, that is.
You're
creepy.
You're gonna like the Halloween one. I'm excited. It's I made it scary and spooky, but it's not like
it's not gross.
Creepy stuff.
Yeah. Right.
And there's a lot of humor in it. I mean, it's just fun to read. But it has to do with the haunted house.
Oh, fun! And
I can't wait.
That'll be perfect,
especially from the three of you. It'll be great.
Yeah.
So are they three different stories, or is it all related stories?
No, they're three different stories.
Okay. So
but released together.
Released together in a
Yeah.
Okay.
In the single book.
Wow. Oh, fun. This has been a really fun podcast. I don't know about you, but I'm getting my hair standing on ends, and I'm getting
thank you.
Yeah. Heebie-jeebies.
Wait.
Yeah, wait till you read the book.
Oh my
huh?
No, I love it. Yeah, I'm the nicest guy in the world.
Oh, you really are. We know that.
When somebody comes up and says, I didn't sleep at all because of your book. It's like, that's the best compliment in the world.
You're going, I'm so happy.
Thank you.
I love the contrast. This really nice, tall, kind gentleman.
Yes, exactly.
No, professional person. And he's going,
rubbing his hands
together. Yeah, that's
together.
Right.
Yeah, awesome.
You know, I love the contrast. I know.
Well, that's the hard thing is because I mostly read at night. If I get a chance to read during the day when the kids are at school, when I'm not working, I mostly read at night. And my husband's a fireman, so there's times where I'm not, when I'm alone, and I'm just like, you know, with this one, there was some psychological stuff going on for sure.
Especially with Damien.
Especially, he
weird.
Yeah, that's a really
what
good
a perfect
term.
Name for that.
Yes.
Damien
so,
weirdness.
Yeah, he had some serious issues.
Yes.
No.
But
I'm going to have to make sure I read that one during the day when my husband's home.
You know, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, I may have to borrow that before you.
Okay. Well, in conjunction with this podcast, because I actually purchased Greg's book. I think I purchased yours at the same time I purchased Code Word from Tracy. Oh. And so I bought them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
Which
I didn't want to
really
wait.
Good too. I loved it.
I'm like three chapters in.
Oh, okay.
All these review books
Disneyland.
Are like,
yeah, it's Disneyland's fault.
Catch up.
Darn Disneyland.
I know, I really do. Like, I just want to be like, hey, nobody talked to me for 3 days. I have to read. Because if I don't get more caught up now, then
yes,
we have
exactly.
Whitney reading.
Oh, exactly. On top of it.
So anyway, the, I bought it at the same time, and so I had my own copy of it. And when I saw you at LDSBA, I had you sign the book for me. And then, like, 2 or 3 days later, Kelly sent me a review copy. So what I'm actually going to do is make that a giveaway copy.
Oh, all right.
And we're going to give away a copy of Deadly Undertakings at the same time we're posting this podcast. So okay. There's going to be a contest that'll run for about a week, and it'll be related to the podcast. We'll ask you questions. You'll listen and have to answer those questions in order to be entertained.
Oh, I love that.
So,
that's excellent. See if they really listen.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Lots
so,
of questions you can come up with in this one.
Yes. We are questionable
about,
people.
Yeah.
you can talk about linen. You can talk about coins.
Ooh, that's
you
true.
Can talk about blood.
Oh, yeah.
You can talk
so
about,
cool.
Yeah.
Many
you know,
good things.
We can talk about fungus.
That's there's no fungus.
There's
in this
no fungus.
One.
In
oh
this
wait a minute,
one.
There
yeah,
is.
We
there's
fung-
one
no, I mean,
to
I'm
it.
Talking about the podcast.
When she talks about him not
oh,
cleaning
yes.
his apartment.
Yes.
Well,
I mean,
I'm talking about questions about the podcast.
About
you know,
podcast.
Fungi, so if they've listened
you know,
to the
oh.
podcast,
make sure they're listening
oh.
to the podcast to answer the questions.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, that took
that's
me seconds.
That is my way, my motivation to get you to listen to the podcast.
How many times did Sheila say, "Wow," in the podcast?
Anyway, so we're gonna run that contest along with this posting of this podcast.
Wow.
So, and nice. I'll even have Greg sign it before he goes, so you can have your own signed copy,
which are always fun.
Oh, I love signed copies.
So, anyway, it's been. Do you have any other questions for him?
No, he's answered everything.
I know. This, we talked about his books and more, which is a lot of fun. We always love talking to you, Greg, because you're
thank you.
A lot of fun to talk about too, and you have so much. Interesting random information that always comes out in our conversations. So I'm glad to see you without a cane.
Thank you.
You're looking
me
much
too.
Better.
Getting
around
really
without
well.
That.
Me too. Yeah.
Excellent.
There's still little issues that I'm dealing with, but I deal with them.
That's yeah, that's what we do.
I don't
right?
want to have a crutch. So.
No.
No, that's
it's good to see you, and thanks for driving all the way down here.
Sure.
To come and podcast
it.
With
it
us.
Fun.
And
it's worth it.
We always love to visit with you and talk to you. So.
Yep, I agree.
Hey, you know, don't forget to visit Greg on his website, gregluke.com.
Yes.
And he's also on Twitter occasionally.
No,
you're not
no,
on Twitter?
No, Twitter, just Facebook.
Oh, just Facebook. Okay,
yeah, just Facebook.
Facebook. I'm sure you can, do they just need to search?
It's greg.luke.
Greg.luke.
Mm-hmm. Facebook.com/greg.luke.
Okay.
I believe.
Something like that. Probably
can
do
I
a
throw
search.
In something real
yes,
quick
Yes, go for
end
it.
Here.
Yes.
I am actually, it's a shameless plug, and it's kind of late in the day. So I'm sure by the time you're done editing this, it's not going to matter anymore. So maybe I shouldn't say anything.
Well, no,
it?
Tell us. We want to know.
I can probably post it even later.
So we can post it on the blog.
I am in a Cash Valley production of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, yeah. I would love to see
and
that.
And how long does that
oh,
run?
Oh, my heavens.
Tonight and Monday night.
Oh, okay.
And that's it. It was all this last week.
So which part are you playing?
Well, it's from a group called Stories in Concert. Jamie and Stephen Smith are the producers, writers, directors, everything for it. And their idea is to take classic American stories, folk tales,
right.
and put them into musical theater.
Oh, how fun.
Love that.
And so they've done that with Sleepy Hollow, but they want to be very true to the original story. So they take Washington Irving's tale.
Okay.
And they've only edited one or two bits of it. The rest of it's exactly as
wow.
is, okay?
That's
so
awesome.
It's not like the Johnny Depp Sleepy Hollow that totally butchers the story.
I haven't seen that one either.
Yeah.
Don't
I haven't
bother.
Seen it.
Just, even the special effects aren't that good. So anyway, it's like a reader's theater. And so they asked me to be the narrator.
Oh, how fabulous.
So that's what I actually sit down and I read the story and I put, and that's what's been neat. That's why I wanted to bring it up because as an author, when I listen to the CDs of my stories,
yes.
I'm thinking, okay, are they going to get the tone of this character, the inflection, mm-hmm. you know, the menace in his voice or the idiocy or whatever?
Yeah, right,
is it going to come
right.
out in there? And so I thought, how did Washington Irving write this? And so I really try and put that character into it. And then as I'm reading, the chorus acts it out.
Oh, that is fabulous.
So we've got an Ichabod, we have a Katrina, we have a Brahm, and, you know, they all interact, and then it's interspersed with some really cool music.
That would be fun.
And they all sing, the choir sings.
Yeah, it's like 50 minutes, so it's not even a big, long show.
And where is this taking place then?
Well, that's just it. It's taking place at the Cache County Fairgrounds.
Oh.
And we're actually out in the arena, and they have the covered bleachers that the audience sits in. The reason we do that is because we have a real headless horseman.
Oh, wow.
And this guy looks good, man. I mean, you can't even tell.
I can't even watch the Disney version of that.
Yeah. It is so good. And he comes right up to the audience, and the kids just scream.
Oh, I bet they do.
He's got this jack-o'-lantern that has this flame inside. It is so much fun.
So is there like a website they can buy tickets to this, or where
Because even if it doesn't get up,
we can at least post about it on Twitter, on Facebook, and stuff, and say, hey, fun recording with Greg.
It's on there. Yeah, just look,
Stories in Concert.
Stories in Concert. And they've been doing ads on Facebook and, you know, just all over the place. And unfortunately, like I say, it started last weekend and went all this week. And we actually had a couple of shows rained out.
Oh.
And that's why we're doing another one Monday.
Oh, good.
You should be doing Monday and Tuesday.
Because we actually had two nights there. But I just had to laugh when you were talking about sitting out watching soccer being cold.
Yes.
You ever tried performing in 30-degree weather?
It's like, especially up there.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, up there.
Keeping your voice the way you need it to be.
Exactly.
Well, especially if you're just narrating and not really moving around like everyone else.
I'm not.
Else
Everybody
is.
Else is moving around keeping warm, and I'm sitting in a chair going, okay, don't stutter. Don't shake.
You need your hot chocolate there by your side.
Sure, I've got thermals on. I've got toe warmers.
I bet. So have they recorded this?
Fun.
I mean, have they actually videotaped this?
They should record
this
and sell the DVD.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
No, they have had. They used to perform it in Utah Valley, and they moved up to Cache Valley, and so they're just starting it up again.
Right.
And they have had some recordings of it down there.
But I want to hear your voice.
But, you know, all the tech guys that have come up with them to do this, the lights, the sound effects, everything like that, they say this is the best cast that they've seen.
Oh, wow. Well, they need to record it again.
Tell
them.
Do it again next year and then see if they can find a bigger venue where they can do it, you know, like maybe in Salt Lake instead of Cache Valley.
Oh, no. Well,
that would
they want to keep it local. They want local talent. They want to keep it there. But they've had people from Wyoming, Idaho, everywhere come.
Wow.
That seems awesome. Well, we'll see what we can do to plug it for you, even if
that'd be awesome.
It depends on how fast I can get this edited. Yeah. Maybe we can get it up.
So
at least Monday, I was hoping to be able to get it up by
Monday.
It's
been really fun as an author seeing this different slant on storytelling.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
And I think that's why our schedules didn't work for so long, too, because you had that and Shan went out of town.
Yeah, I had all those practices.
Yeah.
Because I've known this podcast has been coming for, what, like a month? We've been trying to plan it.
We do need to have it mentioned, though, that Deadly Undertakings has been nominated for a Whitney.
That was fast.
Yeah, we mentioned that in passing.
Yay.
Yes.
It's wide open. You, Tracy, and who knows? This is going to be a fun year to see how it goes. But anyway, thanks for joining us for season six, episode four.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, episode four.
I always mess that up, don't you?
Especially when we're recording.
And I love her face, too, when she says, season six, episode four.
Is that right?
I have to write it down, and then
is that what we really are doing?
Yeah. We're going to be wrapping up the year here soon. Season six will be ending here, and we'll be starting season seven at the beginning of the year. And we only have 4 or 5 episodes that we're going to have so far, so we need to get recording, girls.
Yes, I know.
And we're just really glad that we were able to share one of these episodes with you, Greg.
Thank you so much. It's always so much fun to have you here.
Thanks for coming and for sharing all of your fun and creepy ideas with us.
You're welcome.
We love that you're so creepy.
And don't forget to visit.
Good book.
Yes, it
don't
does.
Don't forget
Make
to visit Greg at gregloop.com and also on Facebook. And don't forget to check us out, www.ldswbr.com. If you don't usually come visit the website, come see us. And while you're there, enter to win a copy of Deadly Undertakings.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just going to wrap this up and say we'll see you next time.
Bye.